stand, please.
Hello, Chicago.
WGN Radio's Pete McMurray.
Well, here we are. I want to congratulate you for being on time.
Ready, BTR 1 and 2. Ready on camera 1 with cue.
3.
All right, two, and two, annotation. Get ready.
1.
And cue them. And go.
Here's Pete McMurray on 720 WGN.
Happy Sunday, everybody. Pete McMurray in the Skyline Studios. Our phone number, 312-981-7200. We're here until 6 o'clock, and then the Blackhawks pregame taking on the Red Wings. Do we hate the Red Wings as much as we used to now that they're out of our conference? I don't think so. I mean, we do. We'll always hate Detroit, but not as much. We hate the Blues more now.
Well, you know, when I go to the United Center to cover games, there are still fans, even when they're not playing the Red Wings. They could be playing any other team that still chant, Detroit sucks.
Right, yes.
So I think for some of the older fans, yes. But I think for the new, younger generation of fans,
no.
Not quite, yeah.
We hate the Blues more.
Yeah.
And they won the Stanley Cup
that
last
Chicago
year.
St. Louis rivalry across, you know, of course, Blackhawks, Blues, Cubs, Cardinals.
Oh, yeah. Definitely
the Rams were in St. Louis. The Bears,
oh, hated
Rams.
The Rams. You're
yeah,
right.
It's that rivalry.
Curtis behind the glass. Good to see you, man. You're
good
all dressed
you.
Up. You're
I
doing
am.
The Blackhawks tonight,
yeah,
aren't you?
Yeah, I'm here until 3, and then thankfully Ashley Byhun will be taking over for you heading up till 6 o'clock.
I can never pronounce Ashley's last name.
Byhun.
Byhun?
Like, Byhun. Yeah, that's how she always worded it to me.
Dean was talking about mixing the pot in your food. I got a mailer yesterday from
I did too.
Sunnyside.
I did too.
Did you get it from Sunnyside
yeah,
in the
I
city?
Did. Yeah, uh-huh.
A new kind of cannabis shop opening January 1st.
Yeah.
Our store hours. We open at 6 a.m. Mm. Wow. Sunnyside Cannabis. Who knew? Okay. What do we do with this?
I mean, I threw it out. I don't consume
one,
marijuana.
1, 2, 3, 4 locations. There's one in Rockford, Champaign, Elmwood Park, and Lakeview, right next to Wrigley Field.
Yeah.
Okay. Everybody's talking about the pot. Mm-hmm. Today, what we're going to be talking about is today is the busiest online dating day of the year. This is when people hunker down, they change their profiles, and they get into it. We're going to talk to Bella Gandhi from the Smart Dating Academy on exactly what to do. I would say, and she'll probably say that I'm completely wrong here, but I would say that if you're putting together an online profile, think of it as a first date. You don't want to reveal all the information, but you want to be truthful. But we'll talk to her more about that at 2:30. Dr. John Duffy is going to be coming in studio helping parents, grandparents. He is a psychologist. He's a writer. He is a speaker. He's got a new book out called Parenting, the New Teen in the Age of Anxiety. And me with a 14-year-old at home, I need all the help I can get. And also we're going to talk to Matt Martin, alderman. They have a new program in Chicago, and you need to apply for it this week. If you have a broken sidewalk in the front of your house, there is a sidewalk program, and they're going to start taking applications on Tuesday morning, and he's going to explain all of that. So if you live in the city of Chicago, around 1:30, we'll talk to Alderman Matt Martin on that. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Still getting text messages about the CBD. I don't know. That's a great question. You're just going to have to figure it out for yourself. And by the way, even though pot is legalized, you don't have to do it. Just like alcohol. If you want to drink, drink. If not, not a big deal. You do not have to do it. You don't have to feel the pressure. I don't know why so many people are saying, well, I just can't. I just don't like it. Well, don't do it, man. Don't do it. 773 area code. Pete, at the last Hawks game on 1227 against the Islanders during the third period in our section, people started chanting, Detroit sucks. The rivalry is still alive. All right, good. It's like one of those things. When you go to Sox Park, as everybody walks out, it doesn't matter who they're playing, it's Cubs suck, right? When you're walking out of Sox Park after a game, yes, they're constantly doing that. Also, we're going to talk to, excuse me, we're going to talk about weird things you do with food. Gene Simmons from Kiss put ice cubes in his cereal this week, and Twitter went absolutely berserk. I have no problem whatsoever with putting ice cubes in your cereal. You want cold milk, right? What's wrong with it? People were up in arms. So what are weird things you do with your food? We'll start taking your text messages now, and we'll discuss this a little bit later. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Okay. This week, there was an armed hostage situation at a Rockford bank on Friday, and we wanted to get all the details. I lived in Rockford for 6 years. I know exactly where this is, and we're going to bring up Dan O'Shea from the Rockford Police Department. Dan, how are you, sir? Thanks for joining us today.
Doing real well. Thanks for having us.
Well, thankfully, it all ended peacefully, but I got home, I want to say Friday evening, and I had 15 text messages from my friends in Rockford because I used to live there, and it was on the nightly news with Lester Holt. Can you explain to people, first of all, what happened?
So we had an armed subject going to a credit union on State Street and went inside, told everyone to get out, but he kept one hostage inside, and they made a phone call to us letting us know that it occurred. And then that began the 6.5-7 hour ordeal trying to deal with the subject who was purportedly armed and holding a hostage.
Was it a bank robbery, or was it a hostage situation, or a little bit of both? What was his intention?
We don't believe it was a bank robbery. He went in there. We don't know his exact intention. When he went in, he just told everyone to get out, except he kept one hostage in there. And it's still, you know, the facts of the case still are being sorted out, if you will.
And how long did it last? It lasted how many hours?
It was about 6.5-7 hours long.
About 7 hours. Did he know this woman? Is that why he went into the bank?
We don't believe they had any relationship prior to that incident.
Wow. The strangest thing. So you get a phone call, and everybody has to head over there, of course. But how do you start the dialogue with this person that's armed and sitting in a bank with a hostage?
So we have our SWAT team and then our crisis negotiator team all respond after we get the scene secure and perimeter set up. Then the crisis negotiators attempt to make contact. This time it was via phone into the bank, and they made contact with the individual and started negotiations with him.
So do you just call a random phone in the bank and just let it ring until he picks it up?
No, they knew what number they were going to be calling. The other employees that left knew the number to contact inside, so okay. That's how we got the number.
I mean, I'm sure you've been through this process before. I mean, there's certain steps where you're thinking that you're making progress along the way. Did you see that happening, but did you think that it would last this long?
You know, you're always hoping for positive progress. The crisis negotiators talked to them. We were joined. Our crisis negotiation team was joined by the FBI negotiation team as well. Both teams and their SWAT teams and our SWAT teams all worked together just to try to resolve it. You never know how long any situation is going to last. You're hoping for it to, you know, obviously resolve itself immediately. This one took a lot longer than some usually do.
And one of the things that you have to check out, of course, this guy was by himself in the bank, but is there an accomplice nearby? Is there someone else involved?
Sure. We consider all possibilities and try and narrow down who we're dealing with, whether it be one person or multiple, and just try and find out what their desire, their intention, what they're looking to do. And that's the negotiators worked on that all the time throughout the whole process.
And what happened at the end? How did you know that he was going to finally turn himself in? Was he just tired? Was he hungry? He just had enough? How did that happen?
Still in contact with the negotiators. They worked it out with him to come outside peacefully and surrender himself to the SWAT teams that were outside, which he did. You know, the exact conversation between the negotiators and the individual, I'm not obviously privy to them, and we couldn't talk about it anyway until the case goes to trial.
Right, of course. I completely get it. But you guys did a great job, man. All eyes of the nation. I mean, when you're on the nightly news and they're talking about Rockford, Illinois, I mean, this is a very sticky situation. Of course you want it to end peacefully, but when the nation is staring at you, just not locally, I mean, that's a lot of pressure.
There is a lot of pressure after the fact, during it. They did a job. Our police department, the state, the county, you know, the local agencies, the FBI, everybody works seamlessly together. Our city, you know, our mayor is fantastic, very supportive. It's pressure after the fact, if you will. But during the incident, I'm super proud of the men and women that work in the Rockford Police Department.
And how far, where was it? It was at Mulford in Perryville, is that right?
State in Mulford, 5959 East State Street.
Yes, State in Mulford. Okay, so how far do you have to block off those streets? How far away?
Well, it's right on the corner, and it's right up at the intersection, so we block off both streets going a block either way, far enough where we think if there is gunfire, we would no innocent people would be hurt.
And how long have you been with the Rockford Police Department?
Came here as chief in April of 2016, formerly from Elgin PD and Addison PD.
So you worked in Addison?
I started in Addison back in the late 80s.
Okay.
And then went to Elgin. I was in Elgin for 17 years.
Oh, wow.
Came out here about 3.5 years ago.
Nice. So you're a Chicago guy moving to Rockford. See, I started in Rockford and I moved to Chicago. So we're the opposite of each other.
We did the exact opposites, yes.
We have the governor on from time to time. I try to have him on once a quarter. I have a soft spot because when I graduated from Bradley, I moved to Rockford, and I always feel like Rockford gets the shaft, especially when it comes to crime and jobs. I mean, you live there now. You tell me.
I love Rockford. I would agree with you. Sometimes there's bad monikers that get stuck with a city. It had some tough times years ago, but the city has rebounded tremendously in the last 5-8 years. They've come back full circle and hoping to keep going that same trajectory. It's a great city to live in. Very, very happy we came out here.
A lot of great people in Rockford. I visit many, many times. I try to get there at least 4 or 5 times a year. But how is the gang situation in Rockford? We're always hearing about gangs.
Gangs, we do have gangs, street gangs that cause some issues, but our violent crime has gone down 30% over the last 3 years consecutively. We're very proud of that, and we keep dropping the number of shootings and gang members. But we target the most violent ones, and we're putting them in prison. We're getting some good results.
That's all you can do, really, right?
That's it. That's all we can do.
One of my great friends is a judge in Rockford, Phil Nicolosi. Ring a bell?
I'm very familiar with Judge Nicolosi, yes.
I was just with him last weekend. I think he loses credibility when he comes to Chicago and hangs out with me. But
you're dragging him down. You're dragging him down. He's a great guy.
Well, another Rockford guy, here's a guy that was an attorney, then he was the state's attorney, and then he became a judge. You know, he worked his way, and he knows the system, and he knows the city, and that's the type of people that you need behind the scenes.
100%. He and the other, I'll call them lifers from out here,
right?
The Rockfordians, if you will, they're great. I'm telling you, they are the backbone of the city. Our current mayor, Tom McNamara, his dad was the previous mayor.
Right.
Years ago, again, lifelong families, and they're the backbone. They keep Rockford going and going in the right direction. The Nicolosis, the McNamara's, there's some really good families out here.
We had Tom on when the casino was announced. You're going to have a Hard Rock Casino there, which is, I think, is fantastic because it makes Rockford a destination, and you can't miss it as you drive by on 90 on the highway.
Right. If there was going to be a replacement for the clock tower, which was an icon forever, I mean, my parents used to come out here to the clock tower for, play movie theaters and back when we lived in Chicago.
Right.
And that was the icon. So now, what another great icon, hopefully. We're waiting for the final approval from the state, but it would be a great replacement right there at 90 and 30. So we're looking forward to it.
I'm sure there's studies about this, but when you bring in a casino, how is the crime rate? And does crime increase, decrease around a casino?
No.
It just depends?
It depends on the city, obviously. But, I spent 17 years in Elgin with a casino, and we didn't have any issues. I mean, very, very minimal issues with the casino and any crime related to it. As long as you have good working relationships with the company, which I'm sure we will at Hard Rock there worldwide, it should be seamless, and just that should be nothing but positive for the city.
when I lived in Rockford, we used to call the Grand Victoria my girlfriend Vicky, or the floating ATM when we needed money. We would run over to Elgin, hit the floating ATM, and hightail it back to Rockford.
I like the way you say it's the ATM, because you're obviously not taking cash from it.
Chief, great job on Friday, man. I know all eyes were on you nationally, but you guys did a great job, and it ended peacefully. So nice work.
I appreciate it, Pete, and it's just a credit to all the officers. They do a great job, them and the FBI agents. Couldn't be more proud of them all.
And thank you, sir. Next time I'm in Rockford, I'll look you up, okay?
Absolutely. Right.
Take care.
Take care.
That is Chief Dan O'Shea from the Rockford Police Department. Do we have his cell phone number so I can have that? And just for, you know, just in case, you never know what's going to happen.
He called in. I could probably find it and give it to you.
But, wow. When I heard about that that hostage situation at a bank in Rockford, wow. I mean, it lasted forever. And thankfully, he came out. No one was hurt. Yeah. So, nice job. Hats off to the Rockford Police Department. All right, quick break. We'll talk more. More of the show next at 720 WGN. Thanks again to Chief O'Shea from the Rockford Police Department. I got a soft spot in my heart for Rockford, you know? Think about the place that you lived after college. It's always a nice little soft spot there, isn't there? Where'd you live? You lived in Chicago. Where'd you go to school?
Columbia.
Columbia. Chicago. Oh, you've South always Loop. Lived here.
Well, I mean, I just recently moved into the city, but I was still from Crystal Lake. I commuted to school.
There is no easy way to get to Crystal Lake. Why is that? Well, it drives me crazy. I have a friend that lives
there. It's closer
to
Wisconsin than it is to here.
Man. Hey, why don't you come out to Crystal Lake and hang out at our house?
That's exactly was my kind of reaction when my friends asked me to come out for New Year's. I was like, oh, I want to, but it's like, oh, it's an hour.
You go out there, you got to stay all night.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't drink and take off somewhere. No.
Exactly.
You got to stay put. Yeah, definitely so. Rockford. Rockford is known. The nicknames for Rockford, by the way, this came from, I think, 815 area code. Rockford is a city of many names. Well, nicknames. It's been called the Forest City. Yeah, I've heard that. City of Gardens. Oh, in honor of its impressive natural parks, displays, and features. You're right. I've heard Rock Vegas, Rockfish, just about it, Rock Patch, just about everything. Rockford was one of the first places in the United States to have its own all-female baseball team, the Rockford Peaches. Yes, I did know that. Rockford also received the title of the screw capital of the world because of the millions of screws it globally manufactured. I knew that.
I did not know that.
They made screws in Rockford.
My only association with Rockford is two things. My cousins lived in Belvedere, which is pretty close to Rockford.
Used to get my driver's license renewed in Belvedere because there was no line.
Yeah, and when I played travel baseball in high school,
yep,
we played it. It's like the Roadrunner Stadium or something
out
there.
Yeah, it's nice, isn't
it? Yeah,
Very nice.
It was always a goal of our teammates who would try to hit it onto the party porch in right field. That was one of our goals.
What position did you play? You played high school baseball?
I pitched a little bit. I was a catcher in first base. Yeah.
Really?
Uh-huh.
You have a good arm? Batter.
Decent arm. I could throw guys out stealing bases.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
Pop time could have used a little bit of work, but
we'll see. Let's see. What else is Rockford known for? Home of the Performing Arts Center. Okay. How about Rockford's known for Cheap Trick? How come that's not on the list? Oh, here it is right here. The rock band Cheap Trick.
And the Ice Hogs.
Ice Hogs
affiliate.
Yes. Have you been to an Ice Hogs game?
I've been into
at the Metro Center.
I've been into the studio, but I've or not into the studio, into the arena, but not for an Ice Hogs game. I was there. My cousin graduated high school.
It at the Metro Center.
Yeah, they had it at the BMO Harris Bank Center.
Yeah, that's the same thing. Yeah,
they had it in there. Yeah,
You'd think they'd have it at the Coronado, but maybe that's not big enough. By the way, the Coronado Theater in downtown Rockford, beautiful. I saw Sebastian Maniscalco there about 6 months ago. We took a group of people, went there. Fun fact, Illinois, let's see here. Rockford invented the classic sock monkey. The red-heeled socks that make up the stuffed animals saw their start in Rockford at the Nelson Knitting Company. As they grew in popularity in the early 20th century, customers began calling these socks Rockfords. Classic sock monkey invented in Rockford. Who knew? Interesting. All right. There's a little
you learn something new every day.
Rockford history for you. Let's see. I know Rockford for Cheap Trick, Susan St. James, and what's the third thing? Well, the clock tower is gone. It's going to be the Hard Rock Casino very, very soon. All right, quick break. We'll check news, and we'll talk to Alderman Matt Martin about this sidewalk program in the city. It's 720 WGN. How are the Vikings beating the Saints right now, 13-10? The Saints just missed a field goal to tie it up, but the Vikings are winning 13-10. I don't think anyone has the Vikings beating the Saints at all. Patriots got beat yesterday. We're going to talk to former Chicago Bear Doug Plank at 3:30 today after the first game's over and right before the second game. It's Pete McMurray in the Skyline Studio. The Shared Cost Sidewalk Program kicks off early on Tuesday morning at 6 a.m. Let's bring up the alderman from the 47th Ward. It's Alderman Matt Martin. Matt, thanks for joining us. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me.
Now, can you explain this program to me? I live in the city. What is the Shared Cost Sidewalk Program?
Yeah, so it's something that we've had for a number of years now, which is we split the cost of replacing the sidewalk in front of your home. And so it's a first-come, first-served basis. And as you mentioned, this coming Tuesday, the 7th, starting at 6 a.m., you submit applications online or over the phone with 311. And after you submit your application, CDOT, Department of Transportation, will come through, do a survey, and if they think that, yeah, we do need to replace this terribly cracked sidewalk, then they'll give you a cost estimate, and generally the city will cover half of that. And if you're a disabled individual or you are elderly, there's a possibility that there would be an additional 50% reduction on that.
Well, people are just saying, well, we pay taxes in the city. If my sidewalk is crumbling in front of my house, shouldn't the city pay for it?
Well, so it's a great point. I mean, obviously, we want to be efficient with how we use resources. So I know with the new administration, a number of new individuals on council, including myself, we are taking a look line by line to make sure that all of these expenses are things that really reflect the value that they provide, and they're provided as efficiently as possible. But certainly for some things like this, it's a situation where perhaps some of the cracking is due to things on this city-owned property. Maybe it's your own property, but with the idea being, hey, let's make sure that these are passable for all folks, regardless of their ability,
right.
That this shared approach is something that really works well and gives some folks skin in the game, but also makes it so that if it's going to cost, hypothetically speaking, $1,500, which is a big price for a lot of folks, well, having that makes it a lot more feasible.
Is that the average cost to replace a sidewalk? $1,500.
So it ranges. Yeah, so it ranges from approximately $600 to $1,500 for your average sidewalk, say mid block. So excluding corners and alleys. That means that on average, the cost for a Chicago resident can range from approximately $300 to a little over $700.
So if people are living in the city, 6 a.m. Tuesday morning, they start taking applications for the shared sidewalk program. How are people chosen, and how many people are chosen, and how many people are going to be out in the cold?
Yeah, so it depends on the funds. I know that last year we did, in 2019, about $4 million. We received 2,000 applications over a short period of time, and we're only able, based on the cost estimates as well as the $4 million starting point, we're only able to do about 840 of those requests, fulfill them. So when I say first come, first serve, I mean, set an alarm for yourself, phone or otherwise, so that if you do have a sidewalk that's in need of some TLC, put in that application ASAP come Tuesday morning.
Right. You got to get that in early. We're talking to Matt Martin from the 47th Ward. First of all, congratulations. You haven't even done a year yet, right? We're coming up on a year.
That's right. Yeah, I think we're maybe about 7 months in, a little over a half year.
My neighbor Zach is a big fan of yours, and he talked to the whole neighborhood and said, you got to vote for Matt Martin. This guy is going to be a star. What's your background? What's your story?
So I am a civil rights lawyer. I was born and raised in Arizona, came out to Northwestern to study jazz as well as political science, met my then girlfriend who's from the Chicago area, and she insisted that we stay, and I was happy to oblige. So the one detour was went out to Harvard to study law, came back here, and had been a practicing attorney up until taking this job. This is my full-time job, and I'll say the one I had before this was working for then Attorney General Lisa Madigan for the state on a number of issues, including police reform here in Chicago. So that working on that critical issue for the city, coupled with some of my neighborhood involvement, really put that bug in my ear of, hey, what would it look like to be on city council to really address these issues in more of an inside standpoint? So I'm really fortunate to be in the position to be able to do that.
What's it like? Do you get things done at City Hall and a lot of red tape? Are you finding out it's more difficult than you thought as being an alderman?
So I did a lot of due diligence beforehand. I talked with my predecessor, Mayor Pawar, and a number of other folks on council. So I felt like I had some realistic expectations going in terms of how long it takes. Look, I think if you're willing to be diligent and you're willing to be collaborative, you can really get stuff done. I mean, will it be as quickly as you want? Oftentimes, no. But we want to make sure that other members on council, the mayor's team, the affected city departments, that they have an opportunity to weigh in to make sure we get it as right as we can at that first crack, that first bite at the apple.
Right.
Certainly, you'll read about things or hear about things where it does take too long, and I do get frustrated with those things, but I try to make sure that I channel that frustration in a constructive way, working on behalf of folks so that we can just start ticking things off. And after 6 months, a year, 2 years, 4 years, you're feeling good about what you're able to help accomplish.
Right. I could never be an alderman in this city. And I've told the mayor this when she's been on the show. All people want to do is bring you their problems. I'm sure you get it 24/7.
I do, and that's fine. I mean, that's part of the job. That's what I expected going in. And it really ranges, as I think you indicated. It's stuff where it's filling a pothole, it's replacing that cracked sidewalk, as we were talking about earlier, garbage
right.
collection, rodent abatement, all the way up to property taxes, schools. And sometimes people bring questions to you or issues. This happens with some frequency with my my ward night program, where I'm in the office 5 to 7 p.m. every other week talking with constituents, and sometimes they, I don't know who else to come to, but I'm going to ask you this. And sometimes it's not something that we can help with ourselves, but putting them in touch with an organization, another elected official, a different group. So certainly no 2 days are the same. But for me, that's what makes it fun and challenging in a good way.
What's the biggest problem in your ward? Is it crime people are worried about?
You know, crime, when you look at statistics, we're trending in the right direction. And it's one of the safer collection of communities in the city. That doesn't mean that there are things we can't improve, and we're working on that. So one thing we're doing is we're doing a pop-up CAPS program, so a community policing program whereby every other month we're bringing some beat cops into the community to have a short meeting with residents about maybe package thefts or loitering a particular neighborhood or anything else that some
right.
residents, a group of them, are concerned with. And I think that's good. I would say in my neck of the woods, the biggest issue that we're facing is affordability or lack thereof. So ours is a somewhat more expensive area of town, whether you want to rent or own, and that's
right.
only becoming more and more the case. So we have 2 and 3 flats that are kind of our natural affordable housing stock, and we're losing that. So we're working to make sure we can maintain that. And then with the larger developments along our retail corridors, asking that proposed developers are having a larger percentage of those units set aside as affordable for those middle and working class folks.
Well, how do you do that with affordable housing? Because you see these bungalows that go up for sale, and you have a developer that wants to gobble it up right away and either build up or tear it down and build, you know, a multi-million-dollar house. How do you keep it affordable in the neighborhood?
I mean, that's such a tricky issue. I think there are a number of things that we can do, or we're in the process of doing. And I should say we've got a new Department of Housing. Marisa Navarre is the new commissioner there. She's doing a great job. She and her team are helping folks like me think about what we can do to tackle these things. So a number of things in the short term. One is we're hopefully within the next month or two, we'll be introducing an ordinance to legalize accessory dwelling units. So those basement units and coach houses, mm-hmm. which means, hey, that's an additional source of rental income for someone who does or doesn't live at that property. And that can sometimes mean the difference between maintaining it as a 2 or 3 flat versus selling it, and who knows what happens after that. I think making sure that we're using our voucher program in a robust way, because it's so much cheaper to have, for example, $4,000 a year that the city might be paying into a voucher, as opposed to subsidizing $400,000, which is the average cost of a new unit of housing. So
right.
vouchers, I think, are a great way to go. And then finally is making sure that we're working with some groups, whether it's the Chicago Community Trust or others, to help provide subsidies for folks who do want to, say, purchase properties. They are of modest means, say, middle-income family, and if they want to sell that at some point, ensuring that maybe there's something in the covenant that ensures the next set of owners won't be in need of affordability themselves of modest means. So those are some pilot programs that we're looking to expand, but that's going to be really important for neighborhoods like the 47th Ward.
We're talking to Matt Martin, the alderman in the 47th Ward, for a few more minutes. The Riverwalk that is under construction right now at Irving, they're working on it at Irving near Western. How far is that Riverwalk going to go? And it looks fantastic.
Yeah, so that's something that they just finished up. It's a kind of bike over walk over the Chicago River that connects folks on the east and west sides. I don't recall off the top of my head exactly how far north or south that will go. I think that's something where we've looked at some multi-phase plans to see, okay, well, here's how much money it might cost and here are the different phases. So really it's going to be a community-driven process working with the city to see how long. But that's something where as we continue to see some movement, some development along that portion of the river, that's a great alternative way of transportation beyond, say, taking a bus or driving. I think being able to walk or bike is going to be critical.
And you have businesses along the way. We talked to the pastor that's opening up Burning Bush, which is going to be the craft beer place at Rockwell and Irving. Hasn't opened yet, but that's one of the reasons he said, that Riverwalk, people are going to be looking for places to stop along the way, and that's one of the reasons that he chose that area.
Yeah, I think that's huge. And our ward, we're blessed in a lot of ways. We've got a number of breweries. We got the first distillery in recent memory that put down roots in Chicago and Caval. So ours is definitely a ward that supports those sort of independent businesses that sell beer, wine, and spirits. And so my hope and expectation is that they'll do well there because of the foot traffic that they already get. And hopefully it'll be even more of a magnet for bringing folks from around the community in the city to come visit.
You know, when the Cubs start, a lot of people are going to be coming in from Irving and heading east on Irving Park. When is the sewer stuff going to be done right now? Because traffic is horrendous.
Not anytime soon, unfortunately. I can tell you, I spoke with CDOT recently about a week and a half ago, and they are ahead of schedule, which is always a great thing to hear. But that's going to be well into next year and probably the year beyond that. So, folks, they're doing it in phases, trying to do it with minimal disruption, but it's one of those things you can only delay important rehabilitation projects like that for so long. So we really appreciate folks their patience with that. My office, please don't hesitate to reach out if there are issues, because we want to make sure we share information and we help troubleshoot as well.
Oh, I'm sure people are just screaming at you because of that. So are they replacing the sewers right there at Irving and Western, and they're moving down towards St. Ben's and down towards the lake? Is that what's going on?
Yeah, and okay. I think they'll also be pushing west as well.
Got it. Okay. I mean, when you have problems, can you pick up the phone and call the mayor or text the mayor and say, hey, listen, I need a little something help. I need some help this week on this. Is that how it works?
I mean, I try to be judicious. Where I start is I talk with my staff to see who they've talked with at the various departments. I think commissioner to, like talking with commissioners to get a lay of the land and see how we might be more collaborative. That's my approach. I have reached out to the mayor about a number of things, but I really want to be judicious in terms of when and how I decide to do that, because like all of us, she's got a ton on her plate, and I want to make sure that if I really want to highlight an issue, bring it to her attention, that it's really going to be well worth her time as opposed to someone else in the administration.
And you said you worked with Lisa Madigan. She lives in the neighborhood. Do you ever talk to her? Does she give you suggestions, or she just leaves you alone?
So we do talk from time to time. Yeah, she's I obviously worked for her for about 2 years and had occasion to have a number of one-on-one interactions with her at the office, and so have tremendous respect for what she was able to do. And so, yeah, we do keep in touch. I ask her and a number of other folks who were mentors in varying ways for me about what I could be doing differently. And since she's a constituent, obviously I try to make sure I'm calling, emailing, continuing to door knock, and keep my finger on the pulse of the community. So I very much value her input.
Lisa and her husband, Pat, always walk around that neighborhood nonstop. I mean, she is a very approachable, nice person. She is.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
I found out.
Wonderful person, a great person to work with as well.
Matt, you're the best. Thank you for coming on. The 2020 Shared Cost Sidewalk Program will open to new applicants starting at 6 a.m. on Tuesday, and you are urging people to wake up at 5:58 and start putting your application in right at 6 o'clock.
That's right. Call or email 311. Absolutely what you should do.
Yes, and all the information's on 311. Matt Martin, mm-hmm. the 47th Ward Alderman. Thanks for coming on, Matt. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. That's Matt Martin, everybody. Very nice guy right there. I got the email from the 47th. He's my alderman. Yeah. So there you have it. So if the shared sidewalk program, I know we're all thinking the same thing. We pay our taxes. Shouldn't they fix our sidewalk in front of our house? Well, if it's not in dire need, or if you have a crack, or if it's slanted, it just doesn't work that way in this city. I know it should, but it doesn't. All right. Quick break. More coming up next at 720 WGN. 720 WGN, Pete McMurray in the Skyline Studios. Thanks again to the 47th Ward Alderman, Matt Martin. Could never work for this city. All people want to do is complain and tell you how bad you're doing. Could you imagine? I mean, being the mayor of Chicago.
I can't imagine.
Oh, just the pressure.
Yeah.
And you're under a microscope. And being an alderman, it's like, okay. Here, I got, the problems. I got a pothole in front of my house. Can you help me with this? This business is too noisy at night. Can you do something? Well, you want to bring business into your ward. I mean, what are you going to do? It's rough stuff. Coming up after 2 o'clock, Dr. John Duffy will be here. He has got a brand new book out. Talks about parenting the new teen in the age of anxiety. I have a 14-year-old. I need help. This guy. Were you a good teen, Curtis?
I think so. I think my parents would both say yes.
I was terrible.
I mean, I'm sure.
Oh, I was terrible.
I probably know for a fact that I've had moments where I was probably that typical, like, gosh, you're so annoying, mom and dad.
Well, the hormones are raging, and you kind of want to break away from your parents, but you still want to be parented. You want to be told what to do. It's a slippery slope, man.
Yeah.
I'm finding it out right now. I like to think I'm a good parent, but who knows? You know, it's a parent, then I'm a parent. Hopefully a good parent.
I think you are, Pete.
Are you sure about that?
I'm not sure about that, but I'm just trying to be here for the support.
I bet Dr. John Duffy will look at me and ask me two questions, and he'll say, I don't know about this guy. He needs some help. He really does. It's that time of year when we all get to the gym. If you're a gym regular, you notice that there's a few more people at the health club right now. It was jam-packed yesterday. Everybody and their brother was at the gym yesterday. Did you start working out in the new year yet?
Not yet, mainly because I've been busy working here for the last
What about our
weeks.
Resolutions? I thought we all had resolutions to get in shape.
My resolution, besides getting into shape, reading a book once a month, hopefully, and also getting in the habit of not trying to take so much because, you know, I like to help out people and be nice, but sometimes you just put too much on your plate and it gets a little overwhelming.
I put a book once a quarter. How do you have time to do it once a month? And when do you have time to read? I read before I go to bed and I fall asleep and I never get past a chapter. I never have time to finish a book.
Yeah, I have a few books that I have like on my shelf. That
I have three right now. Yeah, that I've started and it's like, okay. And when you, and I don't know, maybe this is me, but when you write down your resolutions and it's like, okay, read one book a quarter, suddenly it becomes a homework assignment and it becomes this big thing where you're not enjoying
it. Flashbacks into college and high school again.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I got to finish this book. But I don't know. What kind of books are you?
Mr. Smith isn't going to get me a good grade in my book report.
Are you reading novels? What are you reading?
Well, the first book that I kind of got into a little bit last year, but I didn't finish it, but I'm going to actually start it over and go through it this year. The book called The Breakaway, about the Wirtz family, Rocky Wirtz, and the Blackhawks organization.
Who wrote that book?
Let me find the author.
Really?
Off the top of my head. Yeah, the first two chapters I read through, it's really interesting. I remember them talking about how when Rocky first took over
right.
the team and how the team was just in total disarray.
It was horrible.
Yeah, it was in really, really rough shape.
The home games weren't on TV.
Yes.
We all remember that. Who's older? It's like, wait a second. You want to make hockey popular in this town, you got to put the games on television. That's crazy to me. For years, no home games on television. So it's called the Breakaway.
Uh-huh.
Wow. Now I'm interested. Local. It's a great story.
Yeah.
I mean, that was, and I've told this story before on the air. When I was doing Mornings at the Loop, and it was 2000.
Brian Smith is the author.
Brian Smith. Mm-hmm. 2002, I was hosting on a Sunday, the Blackhawks. We used to host a section at the Blackhawks game, and I remember someone took a picture of me on the Jumbotron in the section with listeners behind me. There was nobody in the arena in 2002. It was empty. You could scalp a ticket for like $7 to get in.
Yeah.
And now it's one of the hottest tickets in the city.
My folks, before I was born, had season tickets at the old stadium in the early 90s. And they went to like the All-Star game. They went to the Stanley Cup final games against Pittsburgh. Yep. They were diehards. They still are diehards, but they went to a lot of games. And then once I was born, it was like, well, we got a kid to kind of take care of. So, and then they also had season tickets to the Cubs too, because they had the Cubs had that package where it was like nights and weekends.
Yep.
Those seasons. So my parents had those season ticket packages as well.
Right.
And again, once I was born, that all kind of went to the side to help raise me.
It's all about prioritizing things.
I killed my parents' fun back in
the day. Nice job. Yeah, your dad's still mad at you. The old Chicago Stadium, one of my biggest regrets, I never saw a Blackhawks game there. Saw the Bulls. We used to buy standing room only tickets, and we would stand on that second level on the way that the Chicago Stadium. It reminds me, if you go to the arena in Milwaukee for the Bucks, they built it kind of the same way where it goes straight up. The United Center kind of goes out. It's a big dome. Chicago Stadium was just straight up. So if you were on the second level, you're overlooking the court. You kind of have that feel a little bit in Milwaukee. They made it more intimate, so it's louder.
Oh, I haven't been
to the new one yet. It's
nice. Is it?
It's very nice. And these new arenas, they want to make them a destination. They have a dance club up on the third level.
Well, yeah, they keep adding more stuff to the United Center. They have like the new, the supper club that's there now.
Yep.
And the new atrium with all the Blackhawks and Bulls store right there next
to it. Which is one of the best things they've ever done.
Yeah.
Yes. They want to make it a destination. So if you're going to hang out before the game, they want you to have dinner there. Maybe after the game, you can have a few drinks and then head home.
Yeah.
That's why they have all those bars everywhere. And they make it a little more casual. You can hang out at the bar and on the third level and kind of overlook just about everything.
Yeah. My family's going to the game tonight. My grandparents, mom, dad, sister, cousins, everybody. They are renting a box.
Wow.
And it's like 25 people.
Nice.
Like the same group of people that came over at Christmas. They're basically going to the Hawks game tonight. And I'm working, so I'll be sitting up in the press box looking at them from the press box while they are having fun with a whole bunch of family.
Will they chant Detroit sucks?
Probably. My dad especially.
Nice little.
Probably both my parents,
nice example.
Actually.
847 area code. I saw Elvis at the Chicago Stadium in October of 76. Wow. That's fantastic. By the way, we all talk about the Chicago Stadium, how great it was. It was a dump, let's face it. And we used to buy those tickets that right behind a steel girder, so you'd have to sit sideways and look both ways, obstructed view. That's why you got the discount.
Yeah.
But it was a dump, especially when you went to the bathroom.
I was just going to say that. My parents talked about how you'd walk down the stairs and there'd be like little mini trails of urine heading down the seats.
Oh, it was terrible. And people could smoke back in the day. It was just, I mean, it was great to see a game, but it was a dump. All right. We're going to take a break. Dr. John Duffy will be here after 2 o'clock. And we're going to check news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom at 720 WGN. 720 WGN. It's Pete McMurray in the Skyline Studios. Our next guest, his book is entitled Parenting the New Teen in the Age of Anxiety. He'll have a book signing January 10th at the bookseller in Lincoln Square. And where is the second one?
The second one is tomorrow at 6 p.m. at the Chicago Academy for the Arts at 1010 West Chicago.
Got it. Dr. John Duffy is here. It's great to see you.
Great to see you, Pete.
You have great hair. You need to do more TV.
I'll work on it. But you've got pretty fabulous hair yourself.
It's like an SOS pad, man. It's just so hard to maintain. All right, I have a 14-year-old, and I have a million questions.
Let's get started.
First of all, you look at me and say, wow, he's a great parent.
Of course I do, Pete.
What are the first things that you can tell if a person's a good parent or a bad parent?
I can tell right away when a family comes in and where they sit in the room. Like, this is an old
non-verbal
therapy.
Non-verbal communication. Sure.
Yeah. So
right.
If the kid sits between mom and dad,
okay,
and there's equidistant between them, I feel like, okay, we have something going here. They're not absolutely in tatters in terms of connection.
What about touching? Touching shoulders, backs, arms, things like that.
It depends on how you read it. So sometimes mom or dad will touch in order to kind of control the situation. You know what I mean? Like kind of like I've got my hand on you. I've got my eyes on you. I'm watching you.
Oh.
So we're going to be good for the therapist.
Wow.
So I know I have something to work through in that regard. Yeah.
We were in church today and the three of us sit very close together. And I just, you know, I like to touch people. So my son was sitting next to me and I just, you know, rubbed his shoulder to let him know that I'm here.
Oh, that's a good read.
Is that okay?
I'd be very happy with that. Yes.
I know he's going to get sick of it one of these days and tell me, Dad, quit touching me. But, you know, I'm a toucher.
He might surprise you, too. He might just hang in there. I've got a 24-year-old who still hugs me every time I see him.
Biggest problems with teens today. What is it?
So teens are inundated today, and they don't remember a time when they weren't. They're overwhelmed with their own emotions, social media, academic, social pressures, pressures from mom and dad, this idea that, man, my future, I don't know, I don't see a path to success for myself, so I'm going to hang out and work Instagram, or I'm going to play Fortnite until I perfect that, because I can't think big picture here. It's just that that's too overwhelming.
I felt like I had a lot of pressure when I was in high school. My dad said to me junior year of high school, okay, you're going to go to college and you're going to pay for it yourself.
Yep.
And you can go to Bradley, because I had four siblings ahead of me. I get a discount if I went to Bradley, and I had to go to a junior college because I was paying for it. So I went a few years to a junior college and finished at Bradley.
Got it. So you went for the McMurray volume discount.
I did.
Yep.
Yes.
And right. So that's a whole lot of pressure. But I would imagine that's pressure where you could see a path toward fulfilling it. It might have taken a ton of work.
Yeah.
But you could figure it out.
Right.
Now kids look at their lives and they're not sure, even if I get into the great college, they're not sure they're going to be able to figure it out. They're not sure that adulthood is going to work out for them.
So parents and grandparents are listening right now. How do we walk them through that? How do we get them and say, everything's going to be okay, let's focus on this, this, and this. Let's not look at the big picture.
So two things. First off, focus on the connection with your kids. The way you do that is to spend a little bit of time focusing on what you need them to be doing, what they're doing wrong, and a whole lot of time on what you admire about them, what you love about them, even the weird thing about them that doesn't show up on the ACT, right? They're really sarcastic. They're good at graffiti. They're funny. Whatever it is, celebrate that stuff, because it doesn't get celebrated anywhere else.
Right.
And
yeah.
then you can parent. Then you've got a little bit of leverage, and you can say, hey, another 20 minutes of homework might net you a full letter grade up. So why don't we be strategic about this and make sure you get where you want to go?
My family hates when I do this, but I called a family meeting tonight because he starts school again on Tuesday.
Yep.
I'm like, let's work out our goals. Give me three of your goals for next semester. What do you want to do? What grades do you want to bring up? How can we tackle that?
Yeah.
And of course, I put it on a group text, and I hear this from my wife and my son. Oh, we got another family meeting. Dad wants to get together and figure this out. But is that a good way to do it?
It's a good way to do it. And I suspect that you bring some humor to the family meeting as well as an agenda, right?
Yes.
And so if you do that and it's not just grave and it feels like everybody's part of it, that makes a big difference. So if your 14-year-old guy feels like, okay, my dad is listening to me and I have a voice in this. He's not just dictating to me what I have to do.
Right.
He's saying, what do you want to do and how are we going to get there? If you play it up that way, then you're going to get somewhere. If your kid has a voice and really feels like he does, that makes a huge difference in parenting.
Is it negotiation with a teenager?
It's discussion and negotiation.
Okay.
So whereas our parents had this ability to kind of lord things down on us, they could impart wisdom. Now you've got to work with kids because they know a lot. Mm-hmm. Just think about how much access your guy has to the internet, right?
Right.
All sorts of data and information. He knows more than we do in a lot of ways. So we need to in a way, learn from him just as much as he learns from us.
Oh, jeez. Parenting, the book is called Parenting, the New Teen in the Age of Anxiety. Dr. John Duffy is here. How do we get past Xbox and the phone and all of social media?
So what we tend to do is we tend to lecture about this, right? Hey, I've read research. This isn't good for you. You can't spend more than a couple hours a day on it. This hardly ever works. So parents get frustrated like crazy, right?
And here's the problem. My wife, of course, she's crazy. She'll be reading an article. Oh, my God, if he spends more than 3 hours on his phone, his eyes are going to go bad and he's going to be a crazy kid. I'm like, right. Sarah, you got to dial it down.
Got to dial that down.
Yeah, right. We're okay.
And kids aren't going to listen to that alarm.
No.
I mean, we were bulletproof when we were kids, and kids now will not buy into the research, right? So
right.
There's an awful lot saying cite the research to your kids. I strongly encourage you not to do that. But keep your kid busy. Have them engaged in a few things, right? Have them moving. Have them doing something athletic, something musical, something, involved in a few things so that all the video game stuff and the screen stuff and the vaping and the juuling, all this stuff falls into the margins. And at least that's not the main part of his life. Mm-hmm. And that's really a great goal now.
So after school in high school, they have to have something. They just can't wander around. My son plays basketball. Thank God for practice. They have it 4 times a week, which is great. And he's got to come home and he's got to study. So he's got structure.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of kids that aren't playing sports in high school.
And
so how do you give them structure after school?
Right. So there are other things to do besides sports. So you can, if you're on a stage, if you're in a practice room, if you're doing debate or speech or something like that. There's a whole bunch of activities you can do, but you want to make sure your kid's involved, like your guy is, several days a week after school.
Right.
I will say that I like the idea that your guy is playing basketball because I don't know a better way for kids to feel competent and to find sanctuary way off the grid than playing a sport and sweating.
Right.
You know, like if you want to keep a kid off my couch.
Getting yelled at by a coach.
Yes. Yeah. Putting your kid in the hands of somebody who knows what they're doing.
Builds character.
Yes.
Definitely so. And the thing is, he's got practice, I want to say tomorrow morning at 6:30 in the morning.
Yep.
So, you know, you got to have structure.
Right.
So he knows he's got to wake up at 6 o'clock. We got to get to school by 6:15. And, you know, he's going to have practice. He'll come home even though he has a day off. And he's got to get organized for Tuesday.
Absolutely. So he's busy. And so the idea of video games, well, that might be part of tomorrow, but it's not going to be all of tomorrow. For some families, that's the whole deal.
Dr. John Duffy is here. If you have a question, 312-981-7200. The text messages are pouring in. That's why I'm staring at the screen right now. We cannot talk to my daughter about school. She gets very upset and runs away. What can we do?
Yeah. So that is a very, very common issue in families. And what typically is happening in a situation like that, thank you for texting, is that the connection between you and your daughter is a little bit in the red. And so you want to have some positive interactions with her because she probably feels like the minute she sees you, she's going to get a lecture.
Right.
Or she's going to be told something she needs to do.
Yep.
So what kids tend to do, just like we did, is they're going to their room or they're heading out the door. They're going to find a way to avoid you or to appease you, but they're not going to do what you want them to do. But if you spend a lot of time just establishing a really positive, fun relationship with them, then they're going to heed your words when you need them to. You have some leverage.
Right.
Yeah. Otherwise, you have none.
773 area code, have your kid pick a place to volunteer. We try to volunteer. I mean, they have volunteer hours in high school, but we try to volunteer at different things just to show them how you should be volunteering and doing charity work.
There is absolutely not a remote downside to having your kid do volunteer work. And kids rise to this occasion. They will grumble about doing it. I've seen this 1,000 times. And
you're
then
right.
Once they do it, they come in and they'll tell me, it's amazing to see the look on these people's faces when I help them out. It's just so cool.
My son did that 2 weeks ago. Little Sisters of the Poor had to drive out to Palatine because my other sister works out there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Charlie, you're going to love this. He's like, I don't want to go. I don't want to do it. Well, guess what? He was there for 2.5 hours and he loved every minute of it. Because number one, you're volunteering. Number two, you're interacting with these elderly people that are so wise and they love to tell stories and they find energy when they see a teenager.
Absolutely.
So it helps everybody out.
Yep. Yep. It is a win-win-win all the way across the board.
Right.
Absolutely.
But it's getting them out the door. So how do you get them out the door?
So you only get a few. It's a great question.
It is.
And Pete, you only get a few parent cards to play
right.
once your kid hits the teen and tween years.
Okay.
This is one of them you want to play. So, you know, like you probably get three or four over the course of a few years where you can say, you know what? You're going to do this thing. I'm going to sign you up for the thing and you're going to go to the thing and we're not going to talk about it. This is one of those things.
we talk about embracing the suck. Sometimes you have to do things that you don't like.
Absolutely.
Right.
Right. Right. And if you call it that instead of like, you know, a long involved lecture, mm-hmm. just you're going to embrace the suck. Keep it nice and easy and simple. Your kid can at least wrap his brain around that.
Parenting the new teen in the age of anxiety. Dr. John Duffy is here. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. When we come back, I'm going to ask you about raising your teen because you had a teenager now. How old is your, is it your son?
He is now no longer a teen. He's 24.
24.
Right.
But it probably had to be tough for you, and you probably found some things out. It's like, oh my gosh.
Absolutely.
Right.
Sure.
And I want to talk to you about trust issues. I want to talk to you about privacy issues. Do teens have privacy?
Great question.
Do they?
Yep.
And what are those boundaries? So more when we come back. It's 720 WGN. In studio with us, the name of his new book is called Parenting, the New Teen in the Age of Anxiety, Dr. John Duffy. Two book signings. Give him a plug again.
Yeah. So I will be tomorrow at the Chicago Academy for the Performing Arts.
Okay.
That is at 1010 West Chicago. On Friday, I will be at the bookseller at 7 p.m., 4736 North Lincoln.
Here's a question for you.
Yeah.
So you're in Lincoln Square signing a book at 7 o'clock. It's done around 9?
It'll be done around 9.
So we could have some cocktails afterwards.
We absolutely could. Let us know where to meet you, Pete.
There's some great bars near the bookseller right there. Yeah, or we could walk over to the Davis Theater. Have you been to that restaurant?
I have. I love that restaurant, yeah. And I love that theater.
Yeah, that's a great area. Okay,
yeah,
good to know. Now you have a drinking buddy. Your son is 24. When he was going through his teen years, I mean, you're a therapist. He turned on you probably.
Well, we had moments, not many. We got lucky. I mean, I was lucky enough to have witnessed parenting through so many families. So I got to learn from mistakes and trial and error and a lot of parents doing the right thing.
Right.
And so my wife and I were kind of able to navigate this pretty successfully. We had moments, but they were just moments. And the way we bounced back from them is we maintained that bank account. You know, we made sure that by and large, we were pretty good with him. So if he was a little short on homework, we could turn to him and say, hey, George, how about doing another half hour? You know, like study for a little bit longer.
And he listened.
By and large, he listened. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, we all wonder if we're good parents.
We all do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the other side of the coin is I talk a lot about how kids are anxious. But the truth is we parents are anxious, too. We're worried about our kids being successful. There's 1,000 traps for kids to fall into now, way more than there used to be. Right. And so we are forever vigilant. And part of the reason we're drawn toward the lecture is we harbor this belief that if I say the words often enough, do not vape, do not juul, study a little bit more, you will get where you need to go. You know, somehow, some way, that's going to get through, right?
I laugh because we have this conversation with my son, Charlie, all the time. Are you drinking? Is there vaping going on? Because I know some of his friends got busted for vaping. I go, Charlie, it's around. He's like, yeah, Dad, but I don't do it. Because my father smoked for years, and my wife's father died of cancer because he was a chain smoker.
And you've talked to Charlie about this, yes?
Oh, yes.
So this happened in my family, too. And I encourage families, parents in particular, tell your kids your stories. Tell your kids the family stories. Because sometimes that context is what gets them thinking about their own behavior.
Right.
You know, the lecture doesn't work very well, but context and stories tends to work.
Damn.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a lot of pressure.
It is. It is a lot of pressure. And part of the reason I wrote this book is it's like whack-a-mole. There are so many issues going on with kids today that you almost have to be a little versed in all of them in order to address them.
We have a lot of grandparents that are listening right now. I mean, it's hard for them because you don't want to overstep your boundaries.
Right.
How did they parent or grandparent? How would they do it?
So what I love about grandparents and aunts and uncles as well is that you're not the parents, you're not the primary caregiver. So the animosity that sometimes happens within the house isn't happening with you.
Yeah.
So you have a little more play. You can just connect. And if you want to say, impress upon your grandkids every once in a while, hey, I really hope you don't do this, or I really hope you do head in this direction, or I really believe in you. You've got something special, and here's what I see in you.
Wow.
As grandparents, you get this kind of silence
yeah.
with your kid, where they're like paying attention and listening to you, right? If you are open to that. So grandparents can have enormous, enormous weight in the self-worth and self-esteem and the belief in themselves in a child.
It's interesting that you say that. My sister-in-law, who is a school teacher in Wausau, Wisconsin, my wife's sister does that exact thing.
Is that right?
They have such a bond with, you know, Anne and Charlie together. It's yeah. such a big bond, and you nailed it right there.
Well, and as yeah. parents, you have to be willing to step back and let those relationships grow.
Oh, yeah,
right?
We
because
love
they're
it.
They're big, yeah.
And Charlie will listen to Anne, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where he might not listen to Dad Pete sometimes, right? I mean,
never.
That happens for all
of us. Let me tell you something. I do everything wrong. Everything I do is wrong, and I embarrass my son if I say hi to somebody.
I get it. Listen, that I think we're all in that boat to some extent.
I'm a very loud person, so when I drop my son off at school, I like to say hello to other kids that I know, okay? And I did it the other day, and one was a senior, and I know his mother very, very well.
Huh?
And he's like, Dad, I can't believe you embarrassed me. I'm like, Charlie, I just said hello to so-and-so. He's like, you can't do that. You can't say hello to a senior. I'm a freshman.
The bar for embarrassment for a teenager
wow.
is exceptionally
That's
low.
It? Really? Just saying hi to somebody?
Absolutely.
I can't do that?
Yeah, absolutely mortifying. Life-ruining here.
How do you gain trust with a teenager?
You tell them a little bit about yourself. So I think if you tell your teenager a little bit of your story, hey, when I was your age, I struggled too. Don't tell them every success story you had. Let them know that you struggled as well if they're having a hard time.
Right.
And meet them where they are. Listen to their music with them, play with them, hang out with them, and don't tell them, you know, like, what do you listen to the rap music for? I listened to the Eagles and Springsteen when I was your age. You know, like, don't be 1,000 years old, you know?
This is exactly what we do. If we're driving anywhere, he gets 2 songs, I get 2 songs.
Genius. Love that.
When I play my Springsteen or Rolling Stones or the Eagles to introduce him to the greatest music on the planet.
Right, of course.
He makes fun of me.
Of course.
And he said, I can't listen to this. I go, you're going to have to listen to it. That's the give and take.
Right, yeah. Right. And I worked with one dad who upped that ante even further. And he said, okay, you pick a concert and I'll pick a concert. And they would go together. And it was really enriching because you know how sometimes you listen to the radio
yeah.
and you get a feel for, okay, I don't think I like this artist. But
right.
you see somebody live,
oh, yeah,
and
I
usually
agree.
You get a feel for them.
Sure.
You know, and somebody you might think, I would never like that. The energy of a live show, you know, it makes a big difference.
Have you been to a concert with your son? I'm sure you have.
Oh,
right?
I've been to dozens.
What was the first one? Do you remember?
The first one was Harry Connick Jr. at the Old Town School of Folk Music.
What?
Yes.
You're kidding.
No, I was taking guitar lessons there, and I heard somebody talking about, like, Harry Connick Jr. is going to play this tiny theater. I'm like, I could take my family to that. And I
right.
walked in, and I'm like, is this true? Can I buy tickets for this? And he sat there and watched Harry kind of, you know, riff on these New Orleans jazz.
Sure.
Threads and stuff. It was unbelievable.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love Harry.
Yeah,
that's a family thing.
Oh, such a
But you're
family
right.
thing.
I mean, Charlie's never been to a concert. I think that's next.
Yeah.
We have to go as a family.
It's time.
We almost took him to the Rolling Stones at Soldier Field, and it's too much.
It was big.
It was just, I mean, getting to anything at Soldier Field is the pain in the rear, but the Rolling Stones that night, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
The first concert on that tour, I'm glad we didn't. Even though it would have been cool to say, hey, your first concert ever was the Rolling Stones at Soldier Field.
But if it's overwhelming, it might turn them off to the whole thing, too.
Right.
Yeah.
And so. Mick's mic went out during Gimme Shelter, which upset me.
That's upsetting. We'll work through that after the show.
I'm going to keep you for one more segment.
Great.
Because we have some text messages that we're going to get to, and I want to talk to you about privacy issues.
Excellent.
With our teenagers. Dr. John Duffy is here. Parenting the New Teen in the Age of Anxiety is the name of his book. Where can people go online and find you and hear about your book signing?
Right. So you can see all my events at drjohnduffy.com, and you can buy the book on Amazon or wherever good books are sold.
All right. More next at 720 WGN. Dr. John Duffy is here. Parenting the New Teen in the Age of Anxiety. Have you always done teenagers or family therapy?
I have. I kind of stumbled upon this about 25 years ago. I had an office up in Evanston, and I wanted to work with high-functioning adults, and my only referrals were coming from high school social workers, and I was working with troubled troubled adolescence.
Oh, wow.
So, and I loved it. Turns out this was my wheelhouse.
Yeah, this is your wheelhouse. Yeah. A complete guide to your child's stressed, depressed, expanded, amazing adolescence. Our kids are stressed out.
Our kids are stressed out.
The peer pressure. How do you, do kids have privacy? A teenager?
Yeah. It depends on the household.
Okay.
Maybe the question is, at what point do kids deserve privacy, right?
I mean,
because initially when your kids get on social media, for example.
Yes.
I always tell parents, you know, you get passwords, you get to look at anything they post or anything mm-hmm. they read,
yep.
but you have to let them know. It's not a secret. This isn't like sneaking a look at their diary. You have to let them know because there has to be trust in your relationship. And at some point, you have to back off that. Once they earn trust and your respect in that regard, you have to give them some space to prove themselves competent, resilient on their own. You cannot always police them.
Okay. We had a cyber expert on last week, and he said there's an app called Bark, BARK.us,
yep.
where you can look at your kid's phone.
Right.
And he said, tell your kid that you're going to be looking at their phone. If they have anything to hide, you'll find out about it.
And you absolutely will. Bark is one of the few things where even Snapchat, which is social media designed to elude parents, you can find what your kid is posting and looking at. But I encourage parents not to over-police your kids either because there's trackers and portals and all sorts of ways mm-hmm. to track where your child is. We didn't grow up with any of that. And so we had to figure things out on our own, right?
Oh, jeez. Absolutely, we did.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. My mother had 12 children. Did she have time to police my social media if I had it? No.
Even if she had the portal for all 12 of you, it would have taken all day.
Jeez, she couldn't even keep up. So what about going through your child's room? Going through their drawers, everything. Can you do that?
I discourage it.
Okay.
Because chances are, with kids today, you're going to find something. And then that puts you in a particular dilemma, right? Because you have to decide. If you decide to say, hey, I found this vape in your room, or I found this diary in your room with this thing about what's going on in your life, suddenly you're saying you have no privacy, or if I say you have privacy, I'm going to violate that. And your kid will turn that around on you and will not trust you and will find other ways to evade you. And kids spend an awful lot of time, I hate to say it, evading their parents.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, think about when you were a teen.
Of course.
We did that.
So 99% of it is pretty normal.
Right.
You want your kid to come to you when there's trouble. You know what I mean? So you'd want them not to be evasive when they're running into something where it's like, I could use a guide here.
So how do you get them to come to you and have the dialogue open and they know that you're a safe place?
Yeah. So one is to be overt, like at your family meeting tonight, to sit down and say, hey, listen, we're not your enemies. We're your allies here. We're on Team Charlie and we want you to win. Right. So part of it is to be overt, but part of it is just hanging out with them. They'll get that feeling anyway, you know. So there's this idea hanging out there that you're not supposed to be your child's friend. Fine. I'll accept that, although not wholesale. But at least you want to be friendly with your child. By the time kids reach the teen years, too often parents create something that feels adversarial. And that does not serve you, right? Because then your kid is working around you all the time.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. I'm taking notes as I go along here. I mean, what about non-electronic time for the entire family?
I love it.
So when do you suggest it?
So I like the idea that if there are people over, a good friend of mine, I learned this from her, but I've used it with a bunch of client families, have a bowl at the front door with some candy in it. You put your phone in the bowl, you take a piece of candy.
Oh, is that great?
Right? Isn't that great? And then, you know, when you leave, you take your phone, grab another piece of candy. But all the phones stay in the bowl. And I've been there when kids are there and adults, by the way. And everybody's making eye contact like you and I are right now. People are talking to each other. People are having fun. Whereas otherwise, they're just all staring at their phones. This is our natural inclination now.
Right. That's the first thing you do if you can't think of conversation. You look at your phone.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. But if you take that away, it feels kind of old school. But you stop grousing about it pretty quickly because this is what we enjoy more. We actually do enjoy individual one-on-one contact way more than we enjoy staring at our phones.
Boy, I love that.
Yeah.
That is a great idea.
Yeah, it's an anti-anxiety tactic, really.
Sure.
It doesn't work very well.
No, it doesn't. No. I mean, go to an airport, look at what everybody's doing.
Yeah.
Staring down at their phones.
And tapping their feet because they're a wreck.
773 area code. Can you mention something about Snapchat? The fact that everything disappears is very disturbing for a parent.
Yes. So Snapchat is designed to make that happen.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so what you want to do is monitor your kids' Snapchat or let them have Instagram or Facebook or some other social media that you can track
yep.
before you let them have Snapchat. But don't wait too long because most kids end up texting each other through Snapchat. They send memes through Snapchat.
That's what they do now.
This is a big part of their social life, right?
Right, yeah.
So Charlie, if he sees something funny, he wants his buddy to see it.
Yep.
And he wants to send that to him. And they're missing out socially to some extent if they don't have Snapchat.
You know what Charlie said to me the other day is we're sending text messages. He's not responding because he communicates with his friends through Snapchat.
Right.
He's like, Dad, if you need something, call me.
Yeah.
I go, well, that's a great idea. Nobody picks up the phone anymore.
Well, I had a kid tell me recently, 16-year-old kid, and he's like, why do we call this a phone? Like, that's the last thing I do with this thing.
Nobody picks up the phone. We need to call more in 2020.
I think maybe that should be a resolution for us collectively.
Wow. 847 area code. I've been using Bark. We talked about Bark.us with my daughter for 3 years. And it's great. It's helped me address a bullying issue at one point. But more importantly, it gives us tons of points for discussion of issues that she faces.
I
highly recommend it.
I love that. I love the idea of using what's going on in your child's online life to spark conversation. Not lectures, but conversation. Like,
right.
You know, because if you ask your kid, like, okay, I see you're talking about X here.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about it.
Oh.
Kids are good teachers. They like to talk about what they know.
Right.
Yeah.
But I feel like a lot of kids don't want to talk to their parents, but if you invite their friends over, the friends start talking.
Oh, you're always going to get friends to talk, right?
Yeah.
Be the cool parent. Make your house the cool place to hang out.
Right.
And talk to the friends. You will learn a lot.
It's interesting. We had this conversation with Charlie before school started. How can we be the cool house? Because we want kids to come here and have fun.
Yeah.
He said, get the Xbox in the basement, load the fridge in the basement, and people will show up. And it's true.
He's 100% right.
Yeah.
Yes. And that is an underrated quality. And you don't need to have the biggest house on the block.
Nope.
Ours is tiny.
Mm-hmm.
We had kids in and out of our house all the time. You really want to be that. You want to be plugged in with your kids and your kids' friends in that way.
God, it's a lot of pressure nowadays. Just not on the kids, but the parents, too.
So many variables to keep track of. Yeah. It really is.
And you want to get your kid into a good college, so they got to do well in high school. So you're putting pressure on yourself, and then you're putting pressure on your kid and the ACT, and it just doesn't end.
Oh, Pete just threw his pen on the table. But it's true that we have all these markers, and part of it is that our kids are part of our report card, too, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we don't mind the idea of having the Yale sticker in the back of our car, right? You know, and that's part of what we're gunning for, because that makes us look successful.
Charlie at a young age. By the way, Dr. John Duffy is in studio with us. Parenting the New Teen in the Age of Anxiety is the name of his book. At a young age, we started taking him to football games at Camp Randall because my wife graduated from UW.
No kidding.
So that's where he wants to go to college. And he's said it for years and years and years. Well, now he's in high school.
Right.
I'm like, Charlie, you got to keep your grade point average up to this if you want to get into Madison. He's like, okay. So now he's got the visual that he can work on for the next 4 years.
That is such great motivation.
Yes.
And I don't know if you've come across the website Naviance or if his advisor has suggested that. But I suggest looking at Naviance. So if your kid has a picture of a type of school or a specific school that they're interested in,
okay.
Naviance will give you a feel for GPA-wise, extracurricular-wise, and ACT-wise, what they need to get to that school. And that visual kind of clicks with kids immediately. Like,
right.
Oh, okay, yeah. I'm not close, so I got to kick it into gear. I'm only a sophomore, so I have some time,
yep.
But I got to get moving now.
Man, I feel like, I don't want to stress out my kid, but some people need a little more motivation, or some kids need a little more motivation. How do you put a fire under them when they're not doing well in a class?
Yeah. So
you've heard all these questions before.
Oh, Pete,
I've heard
these.
Everything.
Oh, these are
it's
the
like,
best
hold on,
questions.
I got you. Don't worry.
So the best way to get a kid motivated, we think it's going to be like, I'm going to press my kid to do more homework because that's going to be good for them. And it is, but it usually doesn't work. If you get your kid involved in something that they're interested in, I worked with a kid recently. He started taking classes at Second City. He was getting D's before he started taking these classes.
Okay.
These classes took up time that could have gone to homework or could have gone to something else.
Right.
But somehow they gave him some faith in himself that ended up bleeding into his coursework, and his D's became B's. So busy kids actually do better than
structure,
idle kids.
Isn't it?
Structure,
yeah.
yep.
Damn, we got to keep our kids busy in high school, don't we?
That's one of the bottom lines here.
I know you specialize in, adolescent kids, but as parents, one of the things that I said to my wife, I go, Charlie's in high school and he's going to watch how we interact together, and that's how he's going to form his relationships.
Yeah.
I feel like the things I say to my wife, she's like, you're nuts. I go, well, I have these experts on so we can learn as a couple.
Right.
But isn't that true? So if you're very affectionate with your spouse, your kid's going to see that.
Learned behavior. As much as your kid will tell you, I am not going to be like you, you are still the primary role model for your kids. There's no doubt about it. Your relationship is the primary role relationship for your kids. No doubt. 100% right.
One of my words for 2020 is patience. That I need to step back, because when I'm driving in the city, I got one hand on the horn and I'm always honking at people. I'm like, Charlie, you got to honk at people because you got to keep them honest. But as I start thinking about it, it's like, okay, I just need to dial it back a little bit when I'm around my kid.
Right. Right. It's really important because you want to match your kid's energy.
Yeah.
And you've got big energy, Pete, right? So
I do. Yeah.
I worked with a mom recently and she had this tidal wave of big energy. It was positive energy, but her kid was a boy. He was 13. He was very, very quiet and laid back, and she overwhelmed him.
Right.
And so my advice to her was, pick 75 words and take them out of your vocabulary for now and just say the 25% that matters, because he's getting overwhelmed with the number of words that are coming toward him.
Boy, you're right.
Yeah.
Jeez.
So if you can bring it way down at least part of the time and meet him where he is, then he'll hear you.
We're all bad parents.
Oh, we're doing fine. We're doing our best, Pete. We're working on it. We're getting there.
Any parting words for parents and grandparents that are listening right now that have teenagers in their life?
Yeah, two things. One is, make sure you take care of yourself and don't be too hard on yourself, especially in light of our conversation. It makes it sound like we're all doing a terrible job. But really, we all love our kids, mm-hmm. and we're all doing our best to do well by them. So give yourself a break. The other is, give yourself time to enjoy your kids. This might seem superfluous, but it's the most important thing. It really is. If you hang out and enjoy them and they see that, they see you light up, that means everything, Pete, everything. And then you gain all sorts of connections in other ways and they hear you.
Sometimes a kid doesn't want to get in the car and go somewhere for family time.
Of course.
How do you motivate them?
Well, that's where you play the parent card.
Get in the car. Trust me, it's
going
to be
do this.
Fun.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
I love it. Dr. John Duffy, give your website so people can stop by your book signing.
Yeah, drjohnduffy.com.
You're the best. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you, Pete.
It's good to see you. We'll have you back again.
I can't wait.
Quick break, and we'll talk to Bella Gandhi from the Smart Dating Academy. Today is the number one online dating day, and she is going to help you. That's coming up next on 720 WGN. Thank you again to Dr. John Duffy. The name of his book is Parenting the New Teen in the Age of Anxiety, A Complete Guide to Your Child's Stressed, Depressed, Expanded, Amazing Adolescence. What a great guest he was. And we have another great guest on the phone with us. If you're thinking about doing online dating, today's your day. This is the busiest online dating day ever from Smart Dating Academy. It's Bella Gandhi. How are you, Bella?
Hi, I'm great. I'm energized and enthusiastic about this dating Super Bowl today.
First of all, Dr. John says hello. You guys are great friends.
I love John Duffy. That book, get it, people. It's amazing. I've read it. I have an almost 12-year-old and a 16-year-old. Eye-opening. Amazing. He's the real freaking deal.
I can't wait to read it. Now, I have friends that have gone through divorces, and today is going to be a big day for them. Why is today the busiest online dating day?
Well, there's two reasons, Pete. Number one, Sundays are usually busy. Number one, you can imagine why. The music stops thumping, do, 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 and now we're a little, the hangover's worn off. Sunday nights tend to be busy, so that's one. Now, what happens on New Year's Day? We make resolutions. 48% of adults in this country, 118 million million adults are single. So what do you think is at the top of their resolution list? Falling
finding
in love,
someone, yes.
Meeting someone, getting yes. some action, whatever it is.
Yes.
And so it's Sunday. It's the Sunday after New Year's resolution. So those factors combine into the perfect storm that caused the Super Bowl of dating today.
Well, let's talk about the profile first, because this is a big thing. This is your for sale sign right out front. What do people do with their profile?
First of all, pick one or two sites or apps to get on. Not 9 or 10, because you'll have dating ADHD. Just pick it, like, stay focused on one or two of them. And then have good photos. You know, the kind of stuff I see, I just taught a webinar class, a live cast, 2 hours ago, the 10 biggest mistakes you're making in dating. And every time I think I don't have to tell people not to take bathroom selfies or have shirtless photos.
Right.
Dead animals in your photos. But really, this is your personal ad in cyberspace. Make it good. Make it compelling. Would you want to email you with the pictures you have?
Well, what do you suggest? Like outdoor pictures? If you like to exercise, is it a picture of you outside? What? What kind of pictures?
Yeah, I mean, look, at the end of the day, put pictures that are the best photos of you that are also realistic, right? Because people want to person in the pictures. So don't filter yourself up, Photoshop yourself up, and then you walk to the date and it's like, ooh, game over. So you want to have great photos of yourself, but show up to the date as the photos. So you can take them outside, you can take them inside, but don't have photos with other people, family members, pets, 10 of your awesome looking friends. It's not going to help you.
What about the text? We're talking to Bella Gandhi from Smart Dating Academy. What about the text? I mean, you don't want to give too much information, but you want to give fun information about yourself.
Amen. You want to be positive. Be specific. Think about the way you write your profile is giving, like, someone conversation starters to break the ice with you. That's what your profile should read like. You know, talk about things that make you you that are interesting.
Wow. I mean, now that you say that, I'm thinking about myself. What am I interested in? How do I make myself interesting? It makes a person...
You're fascinating, Pete.
Well, it makes a person look at themselves, you know? And when you have to actually write it down, you really can't, I mean, lie to yourself, can you?
No, and you certainly shouldn't lie to others either on profiles, right? So
right.
It's the hardest thing for people to do is actually write about themselves. I mean, we've had thousands of clients over the last 10 years. I started the business. We have authors that don't know how to write about themselves because it's hard. If somebody says, you know what, describe yourself to your potential mate in 200 words, you're like, And
what do you do?
It's really hard. So think about if you are having trouble with it, know that everybody else is as well. Get someone to help you. If you have a friend that's a good writer, have them, you know, have your friends help you craft it or hire a professional. People think this is, you know, people tend to think with their love lives, it should just come naturally. They should not have to spend any money or invest any time, because if not, it makes them seem like they're desperate. That's actually not the case. It's the opposite. It's the definition of insanity to keep doing the same stuff again if you're not getting good results.
Well, Bella, what would you say to people that have never done online dating and they're maybe scared or opposed to it, but they're still single and they're listening right now?
Stop being scared of it and do it.
Right.
1 in 3 marriages happen because of online dating. It's like the world's largest cocktail party.
Right.
Okay? So if you really sit back and think about that, that's kind of a strange party, right? It's going to be some of everybody in there. There's going to be people you like, people you're like, oh, wow, that's a little strange, and then people you think are amazing. That's how you need to look at these sites and apps. They're not all hidden on one app behind one door, and you just have to figure yourself out there. They're everywhere. They're scattered. It's needle in a haystack.
When people go to smartdatingacademy.com, your website, what do they see, and do you give pointers on online dating?
Oh, my God, tons. If you follow me on Instagram, at Smart Dating Academy, I just posted an IGTV video with exactly what you should do to your online profile in 90 seconds today. So, yeah, we do, you know, we get into the weeds, Pete, with people and really helping to make sure that your online stuff reflects the authentic version of you and is compelling enough for someone else to be interested in.
We're talking about Bella Gandhi, Smart Dating Academy. Today, the busiest online dating day ever. Okay, so people get on there today, they get a date. What is the biggest mistake when they meet that person?
Bringing old baggage into the date.
Oh, yes, I hate it.
Right?
Right.
Like, everybody's got stuff.
Right.
We've all got stuff. Basically, if you're a human, you've got stuff. You've got a story, right? You've got good things. You've got not so good things. Leave the not so good things. Check that baggage outside the door. Walk into the date light, positive, fun. Walk in being interesting, but more important than being interesting, be interested in the person that's sitting across from you.
Ask questions. Why don't people ask more questions when they're out on a date?
Yes, and I'm going to leverage off of that. Ask good questions.
Right.
Instead of saying, what do you do for work? It's, what do you love about what you do? It leads to much more interesting conversation that you can connect with.
It does. I mean, think about if you meet someone at a cocktail party, you're going to ask them, what's your background? What do you do? Where do you work? Tell me about your family. Where'd you grow up?
Exactly. And then you can take that and ask those questions with just a little tweak. Like, wow, that's fascinating. Mm-hmm. How did you get into that line of work, right? The who, what, when, where, whys are great ways to ask, to start off your questions that lead to not yes or no questions or answers.
Why do people feel compelled to talk about an old boyfriend or girlfriend on the first or second date? That is the wrong thing to do.
So wrong. I think maybe because they haven't been in enough counseling and healed from it, truly. Mm-hmm. I don't say that facetiously, right? Or they just want to, they need to release that anger and that bitterness or the grief that that person still isn't in their life.
Yeah. How about children?
Right.
I know when you're filling out your online profile, you're going to say that you have a kid or a number of kids or divorced or whatever. Do you bring that up on, you know, the first date or just if it comes naturally?
You know, and it's very, you know, people might say, oh, do you have kids? Yeah, you know, I've got two. They're 12 and 16 and blah, blah, blah. And here's what they're doing. They do this. And, you know, talk about the good parts of your kids, not the fact that they play Fortnite all day long in the basement and you're complaining and whining about it. Just don't be negative.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, it's not as hard as you think.
No, it's actually, in a sense, it's very common sense. But the best advice when you go in on a date is be interested in the other person. And have that person, if you can get that person to talk about what they're proud of, what they love, what they're passionate about, what they're interested in, you're going to get a second date.
Right. Bella Gonde, Smart Dating Academy. Before you go, people are going to sit down at their computers after hearing this. Tell them what to do. What should they be doing?
Get a profile up. Get 5 to 6 of your good photos.
Yep.
Write some profile text.
Yep.
Put it out there and start messaging people. Don't ignore red flags. Look for people that seem nice. And don't just look for the hottest person on the site. Everybody's doing that. It's a recipe for failure. Look for someone who's cute to you. We got to stay in our lanes, right?
Right. If it's too good to be true, it's too good to be true.
It's too good to be true. But, yeah, we've got lots of good stuff if you guys need help. You know, Smart Dating Academy, lots of free info. There's, you know, stuff you can invest in. There's Instagram, lots of free tips, free videos. So go on there. You hopefully all of that stuff will help you.
And no selfies. Let's try have your friend take a picture of you, but no selfies.
Please, and especially if you don't have a shirt on.
Do people really take pictures bare-chested and put them on online dating sites?
If I spent 5 minutes with you right now on a dating site or app, Pete, I'm going to come down to WGN. What? We would find a shirtless photo.
That is unbelievable. Why would you think that? That is so funny. Why would you think that would work? You know what? I'm going to take off my shirt and go bare-chested as my profile picture. SmartDatingAcademy.com. Bella Gonde, thanks for coming on today. Really appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
Oh, thanks for having me, Pete. You're the best.
All right, news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom at 720 WGN. WGN. Gene Simmons did it again. Blew up Twitter this week. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. What's weird? What weird things do you do with your food? Gene Simmons put ice cubes in his cereal, and Twitter went crazy this week. And I thought that was a pretty good idea. Ashley is behind the glass right now. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
You ever put ice cubes in your cereal?
No, I can't say I have.
You want the milk cool, right?
But do you want it watered down once it melts?
You know, I think it'll keep it cold, and by the time you eat the cereal, it doesn't really matter, especially with skim milk. I mean, they water that down anyway, don't they?
I mean, I guess. I thought you were going to say you put ice in his soup, and I was going to be like, yeah, you know, I've been there.
People do put ice in their soup.
Yeah.
Especially at a restaurant because it's always so hot. Or people put ice in their coffee. My
right.
brother puts ice cubes in his red wine.
Interesting. Chilled wine? That makes sense.
312-981-7200 is our phone number. By the way, the Vikings beating the Saints in the fourth quarter. I can't believe it. Wow. The Saints are going to lose again. Wow. 312-981-7200. What weird things do you do with your food? Gene Simmons put ice cubes in his cereal. What's the weird thing that you do to your food? Trying to think the weird things. I put mustard on my Tostitos. Is that the same thing? I think it would be. I put mustard on pickles and eat them. Hey, Pete, I eat the same exact lunch for 22 years. Never veered from that. I also counted out the exact number of pretzel sticks for each lunch. Well, I mean, okay. Yeah, but that's not something that you do that's weird with your food, like Gene Simmons. What weird thing do you put on your food or do with your food? Let's go to, is this Gail? Gail, welcome.
Hi.
Hi, Gail, what's up?
I'm 66. I always put ice in my cereal, especially if I'm out and the milk isn't cold enough.
Yep.
But when I'm at home, I put my milk in a bowl and put it in the freezer until it gets cold.
You put your milk in the freezer so it's ice cold. That's the only way you're going to eat cereal.
That's right. And if I'm out, if I don't have a freezer, I'll go to a cafeteria, get some ice, put it in a bowl, and eat my cereal.
I love the ice cold milk with cereal. I'm with you on that. Do you drink the milk after the cereal is gone?
I sure do, and it's nice and cold. I put my milk in the freezer before I eat cookies and cake in a glass.
Do you really?
I do.
I love it, Gail. Thank you so much. By the way, I cannot drink the milk after the cereal is gone. There's something about it that just disgusts me to no end. It's the weirdest thing.
I am so glad. This is the very first time I've ever gotten in. And I've been listening to this show over 50 years.
Well, I love it. This is the first time you've been on the radio on WGN?
Ever in my life on anything.
Oh, my gosh. We're going to give you a Lou Malnati's pizza, Gail. Hold on the line.
You.
This is a big day for Gail. How about that? Please give Gail Lou Malnati's pizza. 312-981-7200. What weird things do you do with your food? Ketchup on mac and cheese. Ketchup on mac and cheese. Okay. I don't think that would be too bad. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Let's go to Dave. Dave, we're talking about weird things you do with your food.
Well, I like to have my oatmeal with savory items. Like, I'll put tomato juice and for the liquid for cooking oatmeal and throw in mozzarella cheese instead of milk and chopped up pepperoni.
Okay, now wait a second. We're talking, this is oatmeal. You'll put tomato juice in your oatmeal.
Well, for cooking the cooking liquid, instead of water, I'll cook it in tomato juice or V8. And then I add...
What?
Yeah, for cooking the oatmeal.
Wow, okay.
And then I use, instead of milk, I'll put mozzarella cheese mix in, so it's kind of a pizza vibe. I've also done kind of a corned beef and cabbage oatmeal. The shredded cabbage, kapusta.
Really?
Chopped up corned beef.
Okay.
So I'm going the savory vibe. And with grits, I've done sweet, where most people do savory grits. I've taken and used pineapple for the instant grits. I've cooked them with pineapple juice and thrown in blueberries.
Wow. I mean, boy, you're getting very creative with breakfast food. You know, you just jogged my memory. My father used to put grape jelly on a piece of toast, and then he would put his eggs on the grape jelly on the toast and eat it that way.
Well, it's kind of like that, you know, waffles and fried chicken thing.
Yeah, I love it. Well, thank you, brother. Have a great day. Thank you for
keep
calling.
Keep it powdered, right?
312-981-7200. Thank you, Dave, from Racine. What is the weird things, the weirdest things that you do with your food? 708, I put ketchup and corn on my mac and cheese. I think that would actually taste pretty good. I put ketchup on sauerkraut, 847 area code. Why do you do that? 773. I'm 56 years old and I still make smiley faces on my burgers before I put anything else on them. And I do that with my pancakes. I do that too. The smiley faces with the ketchup, the mustard, if you want to do that. Yeah. 630 area code. Weird things we do with our food. By the way, this all started with Gene Simmons when he put ice cubes in his cereal. Let's see here. I put a slice of dill pickle on my peanut butter and grape jelly sandwich. I don't know how that would taste, but I love pickles on just about anything. Okay. I like that. Let's go to Mark and Aurora. Mark, strange things you do with food. What's the weirdest thing you do with food?
Well, I think people would disagree about how weird this is. And one guy even told me that women are more likely to do it than men.
Okay.
But I would put pineapple not just on a Hawaiian pizza, but on almost any pizza. I just love that sweet, fruity taste of pineapple on a pizza.
That's interesting because I will go to Meatheads, which is, you know, I don't want to call it fast food, but I guess it is fast food. But I'll put pineapple on my chicken sandwich. But
yeah. Oh, I would love that.
I love the pineapple on my pizza.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
All right.
Almost every time I order pizza, I ask for pineapple as an extra ingredient.
And what do you what else do you have on there? Because you got to be
careful.
Well,
I order from a company that has a pizza of the month. Now this month they had a Jamaican pizza which featured pepper strips and chicken pieces and Jamaican jerk sauce, and I asked for pineapple on that, and I consciously ruled out the mushrooms, which I often ask for also, because I wanted the pineapple. It was a Jamaican pizza, so I wanted the pineapple to stand out. And I thought the mushrooms might, you know, interfere with that a little bit.
Right. And you don't want too many toppings because it'll make it soggy, especially if you have some fruit on there. Man, that sounds delicious. I love it. Thank you, Mark. Have a great weekend.
Happy New Year.
All right. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Look at this. David Hochberg is checking in. How are you, brother?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I want to mention.
Hey!
Who is that?
I've got my daughter and her friends in the car. We're going to the mall. Daddy of the year right now.
You're going to the mall. By the way, I want to mention I'm filling in for you on a Saturday. You're going on vacation, right?
Yeah. Oh, you're going to be the host. Awesome. Yeah. On the Super Bowl weekend, going down with Homeside for our executive trip or something. I don't know. We're going to Cabo for our retreat. So I'm glad you're filling in. Home Sweet Home Chicago Saturdays, buddy.
That is February 1st. I'll be doing your show from 10 to noon, David Hochberg's show. Love it.
Outstanding. Great.
So there's the plug right there. We're talking about weird things that you do with your food. What's the weird thing you do?
Dude, I get the best of both worlds. I make my oatmeal with coffee. So you got the liquid coffee that jacks up the oatmeal. And then I throw some pecans and some almonds in there. A little peanut butter. Get a little rock and roll, and I get going every morning.
Wait, instead of water, you put coffee in there?
Yeah, that's the best.
That's disgusting. So you put oatmeal in your coffee?
Mr. Mustard, I'm on everything. You're telling me that that's disgusting.
A mustard is the greatest condiment on the planet, next to salsa. But so you make your oatmeal with coffee altogether?
It's genius. Think about it. You put a little extra coffee in there to make it a little soupier.
Okay.
And then you're drinking coffee and eating your breakfast with a little peanut butter and some almonds in there. It's the breakfast of champions, buddy. I'm telling you, try it. You'll love me for it.
When I host your show on February 1st from 10 to noon, I will absolutely try it that morning.
I will make it for you and drop it off. I'll drop off some for you and Ashley, the best producer in the world right now.
Oh, cool.
And also, I was wondering,
yeah,
can I get a, did I win a Lomonati's $50 gift card, please, or no? Or no, I don't qualify because I'm an employee.
No, you didn't, but 630 area code, David Hochberg's new show is only a week old and he's going on vacation.
Oh, thank God.
I love our listeners here at GM.
Well played. Have a great... Thank you, 6-3-0, for paying attention. That's very well played. All right.
Have a great afternoon at the mall. I got to run. I got to go into commercials.
All right, brother. Take care.
That is David Hochberg. You can listen to him here at WGN Saturdays from 10 to noon, right after Lou Manfredini. All right, quick break. We'll take some more calls. 312-981-7200. Wow, people love their peanut butter, don't they? Gene Simmons put ice cubes in his cereal this week. What weird things do you do with food? We'll take some more calls next on 720 WGN. It is Pete McMurray in the Skyline Studios. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Pete McMurray. You can also find me on Facebook. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Gene Simmons rocked Twitter this week by putting ice cubes in his cereal, which if you think about it, you want ice cold milk and it seems to make sense. But what weird things do you do with your food? 847 area code, spread peanut butter on the bun before Sloppy Joe. What? Peanut butter and Sloppy Joe? That doesn't seem to work for me. 815, if I get fried chicken or chicken strips, I have to bake them in the oven a while so they're crispy. Carrie C. That makes sense, Carrie. Bologna, ketchup, and Frito sandwiches. 561 area code. Bologna, ketchup, and Fritos. How about fried bologna? Remember doing that back in the day, too? Dan in Lombard, you're on WGN. What weird things do you do with your food?
Well, I am a peanut butter, jelly, American cheese, and potato chip sandwich guy. That damn sandwich in the universe. I'm sorry, I said damn chart. Sorry.
You said
that sandwich in the universe, man. Crunchy, salty, peanut buttery, sweet, and creamy, and slightly acidic from the American cheese.
Well, I don't understand the cheese. I get the potato chips with the peanut butter and jelly, but I don't get the cheese.
The cheese? Oh, think about it. When apple pie with a piece of cheddar cheese, that's big in New England.
Yeah.
And, okay, crudité or a fruit plate you'll have with some cheese.
Okay.
Cottage cheese and peaches. So I'm just, it adds that slight creaminess, the coldness of the cheese.
Yep.
And the, and it's usually on a honey wheat. And the other thing we talked about, the producer, by the way, coming in out of the Hims commercial, what a lead in. I cannot guarantee it will keep you happy in that manner.
Yep.
But it makes my tummy very happy. My wife, every time I make one, she's like, how can you eat that? And it's the best.
Where does that come from? Is that passed down or did you invent this?
I one day I was eating chips with a sandwich. And that's a new thing I kind of do. Like the crumbs.
Okay.
I just pick them up with the hot dog or the sandwich. I just, you know, the bread, it'll stick to the bread. And it just adds some crunch to a burger.
Chips on anything work. I agree with you. Chips on anything,
right,
fantastic.
But it's just, you're eating a hot dog, just mustard, and I agree. Mustard, that is God's gift to man.
Oh, I can put mustard on just about anything, Tostitos, you name it. Dan, we got to move on. Thank you for the call. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Junior Mints in movie popcorn. Never understood this, but people love it. By the way, I'm not judging. I am just listening. If it works for you, fantastic. Some people think mustard is disgusting. I can put mustard on Tostitos, I can put mustard on pickles, I can put mustard on anything, and I will enjoy it. Ashley, you're sticking out your tongue. Why do you hate it so much? Why are you a hater?
I am not a mustard person.
What's your thing? What is
I
your
love
thing?
Ketchup.
Ketchup.
It's gross. I put like a boatload of ketchup on everything.
On anything and everything?
Pretty much.
Okay. Weirdest thing you do with food. Junior Mints and movie popcorn. People love that. Cheetos and Rolos or Reese's Pieces. So Cheetos and Reese's Pieces or Cheetos and Rolos. Okay. Peanut butter and cottage cheese.
Ooh.
Wow.
That's an interesting one.
I do cottage cheese and peaches. That's an old school thing. Cindy, you're on WGN. What weird thing do you
like? Hi, hi. I like Eggo waffles. Now, my husband's diabetic, so he can't have sweet. And we're both lactose intolerant, so the cheese and cottage cheese kind of stuff is out. So we eat a lot of peanut butter on Eggo waffles with sliced bananas and a little sugar cinnamon on is the best breakfast.
Wow, people love their peanut butter, don't they?
Yeah, I go through a big jar just about every week. Real good. Try it.
Okay.
Have a good one.
Thank you, Cindy. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. this segment is a great appetite suppressant. Thank you, 312. Love mustard with French fries. All right. I mean, I'm okay with that. How about French fries dipped in melted cheese? Cheese fries.
Yeah, I could do that.
Okay. My wife gives me grief for putting pickles on my tacos. I think that works. Pickles on your tacos? All right. My mouth is watering. I keep swallowing. 815 area code. Peanut butter, cheese, and onion sandwiches are wonderful. Wow. I don't know about that one.
You know what I did that's kind of weird with my soups? I will take a bunch of saltine crackers and put so much in the soup where there's no more soup.
Yep.
It's just like a bread base.
Yes.
And then I'll take more saltine crackers and make little bread soup sandwiches with like hard crackers and then with the crackers in the soup. So it's just a carb-loaded, salt-loaded meal. But I do that, and I've done that since I was a kid.
I will do soup and just load it up with crackers where there's no more soup left. It's just, it's hard. I get it. Like a paste. Bunch a crunch on popcorn. What's bunch of crunch? I'm assuming it's candy. Peanut butter on summer sausage. Wow. God, people love their peanut butter. Peanut butter on summer sausage. Hmm. I don't think that would work. But if it works for you, great. 847 area code. We always put ketchup on our sauerkraut, too. Came from my German grandmother's in Pittsburgh. Okay. Ketchup on sauerkraut. I feel like ketchup takes away the flavor of anything you put on it.
No, ketchup is so good.
That's like if you were in fifth grade, you do the ketchup.
I finally graduated from the ketchup only on the hot dog to getting everything on the hot dog, so I'm making progress, but I love ketchup.
You can't put ketchup on your hot dog. You got to stop doing that.
I did. I've learned, but I used to do it up until like 2 years ago.
French fries and a Frosty. I've heard that before. That's weird that people do that, but thank you, 630 area code. So you get the Frosty at Wendy's, you put the fries inside it. Tuna fish sandwich topped with beef gravy. I don't know about that one, 262 area code. Cheez-Its and chocolate milk. Cheez-Its and chocolate milk. So you're taking the Cheez-Its and you're dipping it in the chocolate milk. Gene Simmons put ice cubes in his cereal. Twitter went crazy, so we're asking weird things you do with your food. Cream cheese, jelly, and peanut butter on whole wheat, lightly toasted. Cream cheese and top stuffed green olives on cocktail rye bread. Well, that sounds wonderful. I love that. Al's Beef. They have French fries with melted blue cheese on. Yeah, sometimes when you get a beef sandwich, they'll put everything together, including the French fries. I'm okay with that. Peanut butter. Listen to this, guys. 917 area code. Peanut butter on mashed potatoes. What? Always put ketchup on my hot dog. Well, you're going to have to move out of the city for that one. A fried egg. Hold on, this just jumped. A fried egg on almost any type of sandwich. I'm okay with that. Before almond milk, I used to put orange juice on my Raisin Bran. Not bad. I know two people that did that. One of them was allergic to milk, and they would put orange juice in their cereal. I guess something you get used to. Hochberg called in and did oatmeal with coffee. That's just, I guess you're, it's about time management nowadays. Time management. All right, one more phone call, and we'll talk to Doug Plank. By the way, the Vikings just won. Who would have thought that? We'll talk to Doug Plank, former Chicago Bear, in just a second. Mary from Elgin. Mary, weird food. Weird things you do with your food.
Well, it's not me. It would be my 19-month-old granddaughter yesterday.
Okay.
We were out at a restaurant. My daughter cut up her banana for her in some large chunks. And she proceeded to dip each chunk into ketchup.
Oh, boy.
And continued to eat it.
Oh, boy. Wow. I don't know how
so
I feel about that.
So she's starting young.
Got it. Thank you, Mary.
She's starting young.
Have a great day.
You bet. You too. Bye.
312-981-7200 is our phone number. Quick break. We're going to talk NFL football coming up next with former number 46 Doug Plank.